lesson has already been read, and you're going to hear it read a couple more times throughout the message today, but I want to share it with you just one more time here now before we begin. It's from the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, and it'll be chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. If you have your Bibles or a Bible app, you can open those now and follow along with the reading of this morning's scripture. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and the streams in the wasteland. May God add blessing and understanding to the reading and hearing of his word. Each year, through the International Ministries World Mission Offering, churches across the United States and Puerto Rico receive the World Mission Offering, and they use it to help transform the world. And that's why we are American Baptist, because we feel that we are united in mission, that we are stronger together as we work to tell the good news of Jesus Christ around the world. We're limited right here in our little part of the world, but when we join together with thousands of churches and Christians around these United States and Puerto Rico, we can share in the wider mission experience. And this year's theme, as has been said now a couple of times, is Isaiah 43:19. See, the Lord says, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? The message this morning is perceiving a new thing based on that scripture. Additionally, this morning, we're going to partake in the Lord's Supper. So if you haven't picked up a communion cup, you'll let us know and we'll make sure you get one if you raise your hand this morning. We're also going to have the Lord's Supper, but it's special today because it's World Communion Sunday. Some traditions may know it as Worldwide Communion Sunday. But it's appropriate that on this first Sunday in October, we begin promoting the World Mission Offering and share together with our brothers and sisters in communion. So early on in my life, I began to acquire an understanding about what mission is all about. It was not much. It pretty much indicated to me at that time that there was something more than myself. There was something more than my local church. And each Sunday during the four special offerings, like we have referenced here this morning, we heard people come up and share about the various offerings and what they were for. And so I realized at that point that there was something more. God began to plant seeds in my heart, in my life, to understand that there was more and that he was doing something new in my life. Later, I entered Judson College in Elgin, Illinois, now Judson University. And there in the chapel, there was a banner that was displayed often. And the words on that banner read, "The future is as bright as the promises of God." Those words, some of you may remember or know where they came from. The future is as bright as the promises of God is a saying from Adoniram Judson, the namesake of my undergrad alma mater, and he is considered the father of American missions. I saw that banner at least three times a week when I entered Herrick Chapel on campus. And there I worshiped with fellow students, staff, faculty, and administration. It was required, but I was there. And it was something that I later looked back on with fondness. It was an important time of worship for our community of faith. And as part of my time at Judson College, I traveled with the choir. And I was able to travel all over the United States, Europe, Haiti, and Jamaica. And Haiti was the very first third world experience of my entire life. And I was just a young man at the time. And it was there that I developed even a deeper understanding and an appreciation for mission and global mission. God was yet again doing a new thing in my heart and in my life. It was there that I experienced really what I didn't know at the time was a short-term mission experience. It was a 10-day trip that was in Haiti and Jamaica, and while we were there in Haiti, we stayed at a seminary. It was there that one morning I looked around and saw all these chickens running around, and when I came back later that day, there were a lot less chickens. Guess what we had for dinner that night? Chicken. And we enjoyed that. It was there that I realized that there were people there that wanted to serve us and give back. They washed our clothes, not in a machine, but in a river, and they beat them upon the rocks to get the water out and wring them out. And they brought them back to our room, neatly folded and prepared for us to wear again. It was there that I heard a choir sing in Creole, "Count your many blessings, name them one by one." God was doing something new in my heart and in my life at that time. Now, many years later, fast forward, and as an adult, I pastored a church in Ohio. And there we determined that we would go on a mission trip, a short-term mission trip to Nicaragua, Central America. Yes, another third world country. You begin to see some themes here. There, we served at Amos Health and Hope, and a ministry that had been started by the Parajon family. Some of you will recognize that name. A very prominent family in that country, often brought to the table to help solve political problems there as well as the health ministry. And while I went to Nicaragua and understanding what a third world was all about, my eldest son, Andrew, went along with me, had no idea what that was about. God was doing a new thing, not in my life, but in his life at that point. As we prepared to depart from Nicaragua that time, a little boy came up to my son, and he offered him a bar of soap. The bar of soap was a way to say thank you. It was a gift. And I remember Andrew wanting to give it back, and our leader at the time said, "No, no, no, this is yours to keep." And to this day, he has that bar of soap. God did a new thing in his life. Fast forward yet again to 16 years later, to 2025, this year, God would speak to my heart again about short-term mission. This time, I would travel to Central America, to Costa Rica. And there, God challenged me to tell others about the opportunity for short-term missions. God was doing a new and different thing in my life, but this time to serve as an encourager, a supporter, and a mentor to the next generation that God was calling to serve and meet him. I mentioned Adoniram Judson, but I forgot to mention his wife, Ann. As I said, they were the very first missionaries that were commissioned from the United States. And they went to Asia, to Burma, what is now modern-day Myanmar. And they went there in 1812. While they were there, they navigated illness, depression, war, imprisonment, loneliness, and grief. And also, they had to learn a new language, and they had to adapt to a new culture. And it was while they were there that they began to translate the Bible into Burmese. So many of our early missionaries, now global servants, that is what they were doing. They were translating the Bible into the language of the people that they were serving. God was doing a new thing in 1812. And 213 years later, God is still up to something. God is still speaking to us. Whether or not we can perceive it is the question. And like the Judsons, the family of which I have spoken this morning, today's global servants are attempting to do the same things in modern ways, to be faithful to God's mission in cross-cultural contexts. It's unprecedented, but this year in our church, we have had five count them five, one, two, three, four, five, global servants grace us with their presence right here this year. You're fortunate if you get one missionary to come to your church at a time, but to have five. We started off early this summer with John and Amanda Good, who told us about their mission and ministry in Italy. Then we had Sue Hegarty come and visit us at our community table and tell us about her work in Costa Rica, where I had just been earlier this year. And Sue is now retired, but she is remaining in Costa Rica. She's going to live there and volunteer and work with the Costa Rican Baptists. And then just a couple weeks ago at Community Table, we were blessed to have again with us Matt and Lori Mann, who are serving in Thailand and Laos. And thank you to Doug and Doris for hosting them in their home. You see, God is constantly inviting us to partake of a new mission, that he's constantly doing a new thing. He is constantly telling us about his work in the world. He's giving us fresh and enticing opportunities for the next generation. That is my heart today, is to encourage that next generation to raise up those godly leaders that will be the next group that goes out and serves in some foreign land or is called to serve right here in this church as pastor, as Sunday school teacher, as a servant on Wednesday night, whatever it may be. God spoke to the Israelites in the Old Testament book of Isaiah in chapter 43, and this followed 70 years of Babylonian exile. There, they were strangers in a foreign land. Their familiar places of worship were no more. Can you imagine not having a space that was familiar to in which to worship? Life was completely different for them than it ever was before. This is kind of what our global servants experience when they go from the comfort of places that they have known, surrounded by family and friends that have loved them, and go to a foreign land and experience a totally new culture. It may not be where the Israelites, rather, at this time, it may not have been where they wanted to be. They appeared to be disheartened and broken down. They were low in resilience. They were stuck in old patterns of despair and hurt. And many of them were feeling that God had abandoned them, and many of them were abandoning God. So through the prophet Isaiah, God speaks into the situation. And like always, God provides a word of hope. And again, that scripture for this morning, Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19 reads, "The words of our Lord, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, the Lord says, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. Perceiving a new thing is grounded in at least three principles. First, forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. This one is always tough because people hear it and say, well, the past is my past. That's what we've known. That's what we've always done. This is the way it's always been. How dare we change it? How dare it be any different than what it is? I want to be clear this morning that in this passage, in this context, God is not saying that we should forget certain situations and that we should forget certain people. He's not saying that our past is unimportant. However, he is saying that if we intend to move forward, we must stop holding on to those things that are holding us back from receiving God's new thing. For instance, if I would have stayed in my little small town of 1,500 people and never gone away, I would not have been able to talk to you today about the things that I did and which God was doing in my life and planting seeds at appropriate times as to what I was to do next. We cannot continue to hold on to the past because when it keeps us from receiving and doing God's new thing. God encourages us, friends. He encourages us in the scripture to let go of those emotions, to let go of those biases, to let go of those paradigms and those certitudes that inhibit who God is calling us to be and where God is calling us to serve. Do you see what I'm saying? That if we hold on to the past and we allow it to hold us back, we're not able to do what God is calling us to do next. He is enabling us to do more than we can imagine. God is calling us. God is calling us here, and he's calling us to serve. As you have read in your Bible time, devotion time, through the prophet Isaiah, you surely have realized that the Israelites asks many questions. Perhaps these will sound familiar to you today. Why did this happen to me? Why is this happening? Why, God? Why are we still here in this place? Have you ever asked yourself these questions? Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening in my family? Why do I have to continue to struggle? Why, God, oh why? These are the very questions that the Israelites were asking. It's the very questions that we ask today. But God is always making a way. God is always giving us a new path, a new hope. He is making a way in the desert. He is making a way in the streams, in the wasteland. So forget those former things that are holding you back. Do not get stuck there. Do not dwell in the past. Second, God says, "See, I am doing a new thing." See, I am doing a new thing. I want us to be very clear here that we cannot generate the new thing. We cannot generate the new thing. All new things in this scripture are initiated by God, through God, for his purpose. We do not generate them. He does. God responds by inviting us to join him, to work with him in what he has initiated, the new thing that he is doing, to show up, to reach out, to be available, to be willing. That is what God is calling us to do. God is doing a new thing. But you know what? The new thing doesn't come with instructions. And for our new generation here today, God does not give us a QR code. He's not out there on social media telling us what to do and how to do it. It didn't come with the instructions other than this holy book filled with his word. But God is there and he is moving. But God calls us, even though we don't have that instruction book, even though we can't click on that QR code which takes us to a website with all kinds of tabs which tells us what to do, God is doing a new thing. But he is asking us to step into something that is uncertain. Isn't the future always uncertain? The future is uncertain, and God is asking us to step into the future. But when he does ask us to do that, he asks us to do it with complete faith and trust in him. We must surrender to his sovereignty, for he knows best. And we must have the confidence in him and his transformative power and trust in him, not in our past, not in the things that we can dwell on about that, but to move forward and trust him. It's not easy to do new things. In fact, it's very difficult. Change is very, very hard. Sometimes our focus is blurry. It's blurry because of the way that we perceive things, because our lenses, if you will, are clouded by many things, by the way in which we were reared, the way in which we perceive God's word and understand it. All kinds of things enter into it. Sometimes we don't have all the facts. We don't fully understand what God is up to. And so we hold back and we don't move ahead. Sometimes our world has gotten very small because of our own limitations. Our own physical health and well-being sometimes holds us back. And for some, there's not a lot we can do about that, but we can still pray and we can still be involved in that way. Sometimes our hope has been so battered that we don't feel like there's anything else to do but to just curl up and hide. And I believe that there are people that are doing that today. We are blinded by what's going on around us, and all we can do is just try and survive. It's not always easy, and it's not always comfortable to see and do God's new thing. But we must trust. We must trust one another and trust God together as a body of believers and realize that God is using us collectively as a body in this place for this time to allow God to work through us in order to do that next new thing. Perceiving a new thing is grounded in one, forgetting the former things and not dwelling in the past. Two, see that God is doing a new thing. And third, now it springs up, do you not perceive it? This question implies that God's new thing is all around us. But we'll miss it if we can't slow down and stay curious. You ever drive by something and then you take a second look because you think you saw something? You take a second glance at it. We have to pay attention. Our world is fast-paced, and there's much going on. There are many distractions. And we feel even in the church that we have to remain busy. But God says, be still and know that He is God. To listen, to wait, to slow down, to stay curious. God's leading requires us to discern through prayer and through time what He is up to. And God's mission invites us to pay attention, to look and to hear and to smell and to join Him in what He's already doing. You see, God continues to work in our dark world. God continues to work in both natural and human-made disasters, human suffering and great need. And He takes that soil of our hearts that we spoke about in the previous weeks, and He allows His Spirit to spring up something new. He offers us hope and new life. The question is not whether God is seeing it, it's whether you are seeing it. Do you not perceive this new thing, God asks? God's up to something, but do we see it? Do we know it? He says, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? It's a rhetorical question. The Lord is not questioning whether or not God is doing a new thing. He is questioning whether we perceive it or whether you and I are able to notice it. Some are better at this than others. I would say those that read their scriptures, those that pray, those who worship regularly, those who communicate with God are more adept at hearing that message. If you're wondering why you don't hear from God, it's not God, is what this is saying. He's up to something. What are you up to? And throughout the world, God's work continues through international ministries the mission arm of our American Baptist Churches USA. In the unique cross-cultural experiences to which we send our global servants and commission them to serve. Even in places of deep hardship, God's faithfulness remains steadfast, constantly springing up, bringing forth new life in their midst where despair seemed once overwhelming. Global servants have to adapt. They have to adapt to the needs of their culture and to their people and to where God has placed them. They have to make changes, watching to see where God provides and what path He is leading, where those streams are cleared, those paths are cleared for them, and they can see that fresh and sparkling water. We can't always see God at work in other parts of the world because we're limited, right? We're limited by our firsthand knowledge. We're limited by what we know about other parts of the world. But we don't have as much excuse as we used to because we can find out lots of things about other parts of the world. But it's why we still bring global servants home so that they can share their stories with the congregations that support them, so they can see through their eyes and through the eyes of those that they are serving what God is up to and what new thing He is doing in another part of the world. Sometimes we only get a glimpse. We've had a lot of good glimpses this year as to what God has been up to in the mission field, in Italy, in Costa Rica, and in Thailand and Laos. In the past, we've been privileged to have with us missionaries who served in India. We've been privileged to have with us missionaries that have served in other parts of the world as well, and we continue to be a strong and mission-minded congregation. It is important for us, then, to understand why we are that people. We receive the World Mission Offering in this church because we understand that we must let go of those things that have hindered us in the past, and that we must move forward with God. God's mission. It's advanced by Him and His purposes. We must learn from the past. Someone said, lest we repeat it. Learn from the past, but do not get stuck there. We also choose to relinquish control. This is very difficult, especially for a Baptist congregation, because we have a lot of control. We govern ourselves. But we must understand that this is God's flock. This is His community of faith here at this church. We must acknowledge the mission to which He's called us all and discover through God's perspective, not our own. We also choose to pause and revel at the wonder of what God is doing in our midst, of what God is doing around the world, what God is able to accomplish beyond our wildest imagination. People from this country literally go to other countries and work for a week or 10 days, living in church camps or on church floors or sleeping in church pews, eating lots of beans and rice. And I can tell you, every time that beans and rice comes, you'll be glad to have it. It's good. You'll be happy to have it. There's lots of things that still need to be done. Right here in the United States, for sure, we need a lot of help in our country. But God also requires us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We all can't do that literally, but God is still calling some to go forth from this place and go into those places around the world. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're called to be on that next short-term mission trip that we hope to take next summer in June. Perhaps God is calling you to explore the opportunity to serve Him in a long-term situation as a commissioned missionary. You see, God is always looking to create new partners, to build new opportunities, to build lasting relationships in far-reaching places. And He uses people like you and me to make it happen. Prayer, though, is one of the most important things that we can do. Prayer is most important because it is through prayer that the soil of our hearts is cultivated and that God continues to do his new thing. My friends, God is doing a new thing. He always has been. From one generation to the next, from the Judsons to the small town boy from Mawiqua, Illinois, to a group of people from a church in Ohio, to a group of college students traveling around the world, and to a group from First Baptist Church in Greenville that might go to Nicaragua or to Costa Rica next year. God is doing new things. What will he do in this congregation in the year to come? May God bless us as we continue to seek ways to listen and learn and follow his new thing. Amen. This morning, I will observe the Lord's Supper. We have this tradition in our church to observe the Lord's Supper on the first Sunday of every new month. We're in October. It's unbelievable. Where has this year gone? Here we are. And today is a special day to receive communion because it is World Communion Sunday. Some of you may have grew up in a tradition where it was known as Worldwide Communion Sunday. But nonetheless, it is observed on the first Sunday of October. And as I said earlier, I think it's fitting that the World Mission Offering is also received and promoted during this month in which we begin with a World Communion Sunday. This observance was started back before World War II. It was started by a pastor in the Pittsburgh area in Pennsylvania, Dr. Hugh Thompson Kerr. And his hope there was to bring churches together in a common bond of Jesus Christ and to share in communion around the communion table simultaneously on the same day throughout the world, wherever you were. And so as we think about communion today, not only are we receiving communion on this day, churches in our community, in our state, in our nation, and literally around the world, churches that practice Christianity are receiving the elements of bread and juice this morning. Later on, this practice would be endorsed by many denominations, and churches across the world would partake. Our world, certainly our nation, is more divided than it ever has been. I think we all know that. But World Communion is a powerful reminder to us of what really matters and what really joins us all together, beyond just being citizens of one country, but being members of a larger worldwide body that looks exactly like it will look when we arrive in heaven one day. That's a reminder of God's kingdom and what it will be like. Our practice here is to observe open communion. This means that you do not have to be a member of this church. You do not have to be a part of our denomination, but you must be a believer in Jesus Christ. It's important that you understand that. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, or if, as the scriptures say, you have something that you need to speak to someone about that you need to take care of before your heart is right, then refrain from that so that you don't refrain from receiving it so that you don't bring judgment upon yourself. So everyone here today that is a believer in Jesus Christ is welcome to participate with us in communion. The words of scripture tell us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Receive it in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for calling us to be members of your body. No matter what denomination we are part of, no matter where we are in the world, we join our hearts together today as believers in Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters united by this powerful bond. Help us to set aside our differences and come together as one to show the world the love of God. Help us, Lord, to not only show that on this Sunday, but all throughout our week, months, and years to come, so that others can see God and his new thing and what he is up to in this place. Bless now, Lord, the receiving of this bread. May it nourish and strengthen us and remind us of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us receive the bread. And in the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for the remission of sins. As often as you eat the bread and drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your shed blood, which paid the price for our sins and gives us forgiveness. We thank you, God, for your example and for the way in which you lead us and guide us in our lives. May we listen ever closely. May we observe with clear eyes and open hearts and ears as to what you are calling us to do. Thank you for showing us that it is in when we sacrifice that we make a great difference. Help us, Lord, as you have poured out your heart, to pour ours out to others in this world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us receive the cup in remembrance of Jesus. I realized I skipped the hymn, so we're going to sing that anyway. And then as we conclude that hymn, we'll form a circle around the outer portion of our pews here and symbolically unite with by holding our hands together and be reminded of the communion of the entire world that is joining with us at this moment. Let's stand together and sing, "Let Us Break Bread Together."